This is the Evolve Marriage Podcast, episode 147. Today we're talking about simple things around the house that are creating a barrier to your intimate relationship.
Hi, I'm Kate McDougall.
And I'm Eric McDougall, certified master coach.
And this is the Evolved Marriage Podcast,
where every week you learn valuable skills to help you evolve your marriage so your best years together are ahead of you. Here we go. Hey.
Hello.
We're back in your earbuds.
In my earballs.
In your car stereo. No, they're not earballs.
They are earballs.
They're
balls you put in your ears. That's actually what I think they used. I actually thought that's what they were called before.
Earballs.
Earballs.
Yeah. You ever share your earballs with people?
Don't share your earballs with people.
I see a lot of people do that.
Yeah. That makes me gag.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I have very okay.
Oh, wow.
My ears, I just produce a lot of wax.
Full of earwax.
No, sometimes I pull it out and there's earwax in it. I mean, it happens to the best of us.
Sometimes you pull them out to share them with me and I'm like, wait, you want to run that through the dishwasher?
Stop, Eric. I don't share my earballs.
No, you don't.
I don't. Because it's gross. I don't share sodas. I'm just nothing that touches any internal part of me.
How do you have any friends if you don't share sodas?
I have a lot of friends and they all respect the fact that I don't share sodas.
Things you don't share. What's the top three things you don't share?
Straws.
Yeah.
Drinks.
Soap bars.
Anything with kids.
Face cloths. Anything with kids?
Backwash.
Especially time. I don't share any time with kids.
No. Ew. Face cloths? Eric. Oh my gosh.
Shower towels?
No. Ew.
Razors.
No. Oh, sometimes I steal your razor.
Oh, what?
For my armpits.
I'm going to stop shaving my face. Oh, this is outrageous. Why are you saying these things? This is our topic for today. How to annoy your partner.
Yeah.
How to get your partner to buy new everything in the bathroom.
Toothbrush.
I can't trust.
Number one.
Okay, sometimes
Eric McDougall uses my toothbrush.
They look the exact same.
I don't. You put red tape.
Yeah, I did.
It can't be any flashier than that.
That's right.
I'm about to paint it.
Okay, don't even start.
I want to vomit.
If you're telling me that you have never accidentally put your partner's toothbrush in your mouth, you're lying. Stop it. You're lying.
Well, some people have very different toothbrushes.
Yeah. Also, I think the razor blade thing, a lot of people have done it.
Also, not everybody's bathroom is 5x5.
That's true.
Yeah. It's not even 5x5. It's 2x2, 2 feet by 2 feet. And we have a shower, a toilet, and a sink in there. There is no room to breathe in that bathroom. It is the world's smallest bathroom.
Sometimes you got to get real close.
It gets real flippin' intimate in that shower.
Yeah.
I love how our son the other day was like, I'm 9 years old now. I don't fit in that shower anymore. It's too small. And I'm like, well, sometimes your daddy and I fit in it together just right. And he was like,
Mom and Dad made you in that shower.
No, not that one. No, and he was like, ew. And I was like, that's right. Grossed you out.
All right. So today, our topic is really talking
home
about
decor.
Home decor.
We're talking about how to decorate your home.
So we're really talking about barriers to intimacy.
Yes.
So this is a big one, right?
Yeah.
We want to talk. So why don't we just jump right into it? We can kind of tell people. So we've removed TVs from our home.
Yeah. They're out.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Eric had a great idea.
No, Eric had a great idea. Eric was like,
when he was super angry.
Yeah. He was, we were angry at our kids for having fits all the time. Anytime you turn on a TV, they'd have fits like, can we watch TV now? Please, 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 please. And then we turn on the TV and they watch an episode each. And then we turn off the TV and then they were like monsters. So I'm like, you know what? I read somewhere that some kids don't do well with technology. And Eric was like, running with it. And he was like, let's remove TVs out of our lives. And I was like, sure, no problem. I thought he'd take the wires out from the wall.
The TV remote, that's what you said.
You're maybe like, move we're gonna hide the TV remote. No, I actually thought you'd unplug it or something.
Yeah.
No, he legit took off the mount from our wall-mounted TV and patched the holes.
That's how I roll.
Holy banana. I came home and I was like,
I don't mess around.
How do you patch some holes? Are you not expecting to put this TV back up?
I even picked the picture frame I was going to put up there in front of
you. Yeah. I saw that. I was like, wow.
So
that's a lot.
We're
going to
talk about a bit what we learned through this experience of having no TV in our homes.
Yeah.
And things like that. But yeah, we removed TV. It's been 3 weeks now.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Hey, yeah. So, I mean, for real, it's been kind of great.
It's been great. Honestly, the fits with the kids have diminished a lot. Mm-hmm. We've noticed them reading more and using their imagination more, spending their free time with friends. And as a family, it's forced us to create time together and connection. And I'm saying forced us, like it's not like against our will kind of thing, but we've definitely been encouraged to spend more time as a family and play games together and have more conversations together without, you know, because after school, usually what they would do is watch an hour of TV. And mm-hmm. the next thing you know, we're doing homework, lunches, dinners, go, go, go. Like it was like fall into the routine. So now we're like, well, what are we going to do with this extra like hour that we usually don't connect together?
Yeah.
And on weekends, like we never really watched much TV anyway. But what this did was also force Eric and I off of our electronics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we don't.
Tell them my phones.
That's right. So we don't watch any television on iPad or phones or anything like that.
Yeah, nothing.
We've been really intentional about trying to get off screens. And, you know, just like you said, you know, we're not only the kids are reading more. We're reading more as a family. We're playing games more. We're cooking more as a family too, mm-hmm. right? So everyone's in the kitchen together cooking.
Yeah, the kids are learning to use knives. And
Yeah, exactly. So it's created a lot of these really great moments of connection, mm-hmm. right? Because essentially there was kind of this vacuum that was usually taken up by TV time, but now there's nothing. So we have to figure out how to do something.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's been really great. There's a couple other things we noticed through removing TV.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of positives.
Yep.
There's been a lot of like, wow, we get to spend so much more time together and things like that. But there's also been a lot of like epiphanies, like, oh, not epiphanies. That's the wrong word. Kind of like, oh, shoot moments.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes Eric and we are not the only couple, I'm sure, but TV became like a crutch. The kids would go to bed. I would scroll on my phone or watch a couple of episodes of whatever.
Yeah.
Dating
TV
show.
On. Maybe I'd work in front of TV.
Reality shows on.
Yeah, I'd read. But like essentially we would both be looking in the direction of a television.
Yes.
Multiple nights a week.
Yes. And that was comfortable because it was like, like we get to be together, but not necessarily have to like do anything. Mm-hmm. And not having TVs made us realize that without that crutch, we were actually not really together.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
We had created this illusion that we spent a lot of time together because we watched a lot of movies together and we watched TV almost every night side by side. We'd be sitting with each other. But it was truly an illusion because now that we have no TVs in our life, we're like, who is this stranger sitting beside me? I don't even know how to speak to him.
Yeah. Like, it's almost like it kind of brought, like not to say we're disconnected, but it brought the gap mm-hmm. between us like front and center.
Yeah.
Like something that we couldn't just.
It became very evident.
Yeah. That we couldn't just put on hold
yes.
to say like, oh, wow. Like we have a night off. We don't have TV. And now we got to like figure out how
really
to have conversations
know
together
what to do.
Yeah. And really conversations that aren't just about business or what happened during the day or
yeah,
et cetera.
And
right?
then that was my first realization was like, okay, yeah, we're having conversations. Yeah. We're doing this. Woo. Okay. We're not watching TV. Like, yay, we're spending time together. But what we were talking about was very like, okay, so on Monday, I'm going to go bring Elodie to gymnastics. And on Wednesday, you're going to bring Francis to scouts. Yeah. No, pick him up. Okay.
And then the business of marriage, right?
Yeah, it was like, let's talk about our agenda. Let's talk about finances. And then all of a sudden now we're kind of like in the hard part of it where it's like we haven't really communicated for real in a long time. And we are realizing that our communication has been very transactional and there's not a lot of emotion. There's not a lot of talking about how we're feeling mm-hmm. or opening up or
what we desire.
Yeah. Talking about dreams, talking about what we want, kind of talking about our goals, what we're working on. Like mm-hmm. it's been very like two individual people living in the same home, spending time together in evenings, watching TV. We weren't as connected as we thought we were.
That's right. Yeah. And I think it's really important. You know, what it brought to light for me was that having a screen in the way we did and how it was kind of into our lives. And I'm not just talking about TV necessarily, because I've also removed reading off my tablet, try to get off computers less, you've tried to get off your phone less. Like, we've really been made an intentional effort. Not only has it created all these beautiful moments with our family, but it also has brought to light things that I think we have been ignoring mm-hmm. for a long time. Yeah. And that because we had distractions, it was easy to ignore. It was easy to distract ourselves from the disconnection we were experiencing, mm-hmm. right? Because whenever I was feeling frustrated or something, you know, if I had a TV, it's like, oh, I'm kind of feeling frustrated, disconnected. I'll just throw on a TV show, or I'll just kind of work around the house while I have a show on my iPad or listening to something. And vice versa, right? Sometimes we'd go in bed together, I would read on my tablet, you'd be on your phone, et cetera. And what we really wanted to bring to light in this episode was this idea that these screens are a barrier to intimacy, mm-hmm. right? And we're going to talk about this a little bit more because, you know, really understanding this idea of dopamine and how it works, like, I don't want to go too deep into it. But the reality is that, you know, before there were screens, before we had like an insane amount of pleasure available to us all the time at our fingertips. Yeah. Like, let's just be real here. You know, I love the analogy that people use, which is like a cactus in a rainforest, right? Which is like the way that we are as humans right now and the amount of pleasure we have access to in our lives, we don't even know what to do with. Mm-hmm. We'd be like a cactus living in a rainforest. Mm-hmm. Doesn't need that much greenery, water, et cetera, right? So it's overwhelming. And this is the lives we live in. Mm-hmm. If you want something, it's immediately available to you.
Yeah.
You can go on your phone and order it. Click, you can go in your fridge and eat it. You can go, you know, whatever. And so there's never any desire, you know, that goes unfulfilled, mm-hmm. right? And so really taking that into understand that when we have this dopamine machine, whether it's our phones or able to order something off Amazon or able to watch infinite amount of tea on Netflix, et cetera, it creates a barrier to intimacy because what used to give our dopamine kick, you know, let's say pre-TV age or, you know, when TV was respectable in our homes and we didn't have as much streaming, et cetera, a lot of the dopamine we get would come from our intimate relationship, mm-hmm. right? So because we would connect with our partner, we'd talk to our partner, we'd cuddle with our partner.
Friends, family.
Friends, we'd get on the phone, we'd talk about things, right, et cetera. Well, we were getting a lot of dopamine from those relationships. And because we were doing that, it was then creating a stimulus for us to go back to it, mm-hmm. right? So if every time you talk to your friend, you felt great, well, you're probably going to call your friend more often.
Yeah.
If every time you're in bed with your partner, you're laughing and you're talking and you're cuddling and you're connecting, maybe you're having sex, well, you're probably going to want to go back to that. Mm-hmm. But if over time now you have these other avenues that give you the dopamine kick, well, there's no need to connect with your partner. And if connecting with a partner is actually more of a challenge, even if it's not that much of a challenge, if it's more of a challenge than clicking a button on your phone and having infinite dopamine kicks, you're probably not going to go for it.
Yeah. And like, I'm not even going to get in the science of this, but I've been researching a lot on technology and the impact it has on human emotions and human beings. And the type of dopamine kick you get from technology is very different than a type of dopamine kick you get from human interaction. It's not as intense and it's not as high because the human interaction isn't as high because a dopamine kick from an electronic device, there's lights, there's sounds, there's action, there's movements, there's constant movement, constant change of
stimulation,
and so much stimulation. Whereas with a human, it doesn't move as fast, it's not as flashy, and it's not as intense as any kind of electronic. So it's not only is it more attractive to get a dopamine hit from electronics, we're also training our bodies that's the kind of dopamine kick that they need. So it's like if you were doing cocaine versus marijuana, for example, right? Like if you're doing marijuana, it's all good. You kind of get it high, whatever. But then try cocaine and you're going to get this like major
way
high.
More dopamine.
And you're going to be like, wow, you mean I can do one small hit of cocaine and get twice the effects of this marijuana I've been doing for years, like, psh, give me more of that. Mm-hmm. And that's how addictions start, right? So that's why we're getting so many people who are addicted to electronics and, you know, with kids who are just zombies in front of it. And like, you know, we're all saying, oh, the kids, they're all so like attached to their screens. Like, we're just as bad. Adults, we are just as bad.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, what we would like to invite you to do is pull out all the TVs of your home and connect. No, I mean, you don't have to be that extreme, but just start creating awareness around, you know, yeah, we're connected, but are we like really connected, or are we sitting in front of a screen? Like, if we were to turn off TV for 2 nights, 48 hours, what would we do? What would we talk about? And maybe the first 48 hours, you're going to be like, hey, we played cards. That was so much fun. Give it another 48 hours and another 48 hours. Eventually, that's going to start, that like your high from the dopamine from TV is going to start diminishing. And then the high from like the first few card games is going to start diminishing. And you're probably going to be left with like this, like, okay, now what? Like,
yeah, and now I think that's, what? I think that's really important to understand, because as you remove this thing that's constantly stimulating you and it's constantly available to you, you're naturally going to seek other ways. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we've experienced lately, which is we actually have to be very aware not to just reintroduce something else, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, you know, now that TV is gone, it would be very easy for you and I to just sit in a room and read. And again, there's nothing wrong with any of this.
No.
Like, if you want to watch TV, go ahead. Like, if you want, TV is great. You know what I mean? Don't get me mm-hmm. wrong. But it's just an idea of understanding how we naturally have a tendency to want to deal with our uncomfortable feelings by distracting ourselves or getting some sort of kick, right? And what we've experienced is that, oh, now we have to kind of deal with this discomfort. And in this discomfort, there's actually a lot of opportunity for growth and connection.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And it has been uncomfortable. Honestly, it has been. It's been a realization of like, wow, we're two people who have been together for over 20 years, and I feel like I know you the least than I've ever known you right now in this moment.
Wow.
And when I think back and I'm like, well, what happened? Why don't you know Eric anymore? And I'm like, well, very easy. Now that I've taken technology out, it's because I had made up an illusion that we had a great connection, because we would sit together, we'd go to bed together, we'd, you know, every night, you say this, it's like an Instagram reel, like, oh yeah, every night we sit together and every night we lay in bed together. But it's like, well, every night we're actually sitting together in front of a TV, not really having conversation, not really looking at each other in the eyes. Every night, yeah, we are going to bed together, but you've got your nose in your book and I've got my nose in my phone and like your ebook and me in my phone. And we're not really looking at each other. We're not talking. We're not even looking at each other in the eyes. Like, when is the last time you truly sat and looked at your partner in their eyes?
Yeah.
When is the last time that you kissed your partner and truly felt their skin on your skin? Like, their lip skin on your lip skin. Like, you felt that kiss. It wasn't just like, okay, good night.
Yeah.
Like, when is the last time you noticed your partner? And it is incredible if you really sit there and you remove yourself from this illusion that we make up, that it's like, wow, it's been a very long time.
Yeah. And I want to jump in here because what we're talking about is a very normal human experience, mm-hmm. right? And if you kind of break it down, so the catalyst for change, what typically drives us to change, is discomfort.
Yes. Okay.
So that's at the core of who we are as human beings. When we experience a discomfort, it's the catalyst for change, which means that it drives us to do something different. The big challenge that I think is important to understand with these devices is that you can essentially be, for lack of a better term, kind of duped into thinking that your relationship's okay because you're not experiencing a lot of pain. And what that really means is that you're essentially continuing to get these kicks of dopamine whenever you feel pain. And as long as you have an infinite amount of, you know, TV or reels or books to read on your iPad or whatever, you never actually have to face the pain. And because you never have to face the pain, well, then your body starts to think there's nothing wrong. And so you don't actually see reality for what it is. You're only essentially going with this idea of the pain receptors. And I'm not going to get into the science of if you continue to get down this road, actually your ability to experience pain totally becomes like you can hardly experience any pain. It's like the going outside and or talking to somebody or calling your friend is going to be painful.
Right.
Right. And so not to go into that, but just really understanding that you need to be experiencing some sort of discomfort in order to create growth. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what we did with, by removing the television, removing screens, right? Not only do we intentionally say, hey, this will create an opportunity for us to do really amazing things. That's a big part of the driving factor. And that's kind of what our vision is when we want to create. So we're always aligned with that. That's what we're trying to move towards. Mm-hmm. But we are also not diluting ourselves that we are going to experience some discomfort. As in, it's going to be harder before it gets easier, mm-hmm. right? And we experienced that as soon as we took down the TVs. Our son yelled. He was really unhappy the first night. It was kind of weird the first night.
I yelled. I cried.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff,
all by myself in my room.
Yeah. But over time, what happens is you overcome that. And then the next problem you face that maybe you've been avoiding or getting distracted by. And so it's really important to understand that once you remove these barriers to intimacy, once you remove these things that are constantly giving you these hits of dopamine, well, then you essentially have to face reality. Mm-hmm. And what we're telling you here is essentially just an invitation to face reality, right? To face the hard stuff. Because Kate and I, we believe like if you're not in your relationship to grow as an individual and experience more of life, well, then there's no reason to be in a relationship, mm-hmm. right? I think we're at the day and age where a lot of people can live alone if they want to, right? A lot of the ways, reasons people live together way back in the past are no longer relevant. Financial situations, raising kids, et cetera. And so you really need to ask yourself, you know, why, like, what is the benefit to me being married? And to Kate and I, the benefit is to grow ourselves as individuals and grow together, to yeah. challenge ourselves together, to do more, to face the hard stuff so that we can experience a more fulfilling life.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it took that wake up call for us to be like, whoa, whoopsies.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could be hard on ourselves. We could punish ourselves. We could be like, oh my gosh, what were we thinking? We're terrible people, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, No, now let's just take this as a great opportunity to learn and grow from here. And so this wake up call has been eye opening for us. Mm-hmm. It's been interesting. It's been stressful and uncomfortable, but it's also going to help us grow closer.
Yeah, it's also been very connecting.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Very freeing and very, you know.
Exactly. Like we're going to create new ways to connect and we're going to find new ways to get to know each other. And we're going to, you know, leave the crutch out of it, the crutch being the TV and the electronics, leave the crutch out of it and truly connect to each other as two humans again, just like we would at the beginning of the relationship. Like when we first started dating, it wasn't like, hey, you want to come over and watch TV the whole time. Like it was like we were going out to restaurants, we'd go to parties, we'd go and meet friends. Like We were constantly out and doing things. It's harder to go out and do things now that we have kids, but doesn't mean we can't, you know, do things
continue
in.
Experience. And yeah, so our challenge to you, you know, is to really invite you to think about these barriers to intimacy and just do something different. And this could look different for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need to remove TVs from your home. Maybe it's just, hey, from now on, two dinners a week, we won't have cell phones at the table.
Yeah.
It could be, hey, tonight when we go watch TV or, you know, tomorrow when we go watch TV, we actually will sit on the couch and we won't turn the TV on. Mm-hmm. We'll actually force ourselves to have conversations in front of the on the couch. Right?
Yeah. Or let's have a conversation for 10 minutes before turning on the
exactly,
TV.
Exactly. Right.
Let's play a card game and then we'll watch TV.
Yeah. Whatever your starting point is for you, think about, hey, how can I create maybe a different relationship with some of these, you know, dopamine kicks or barriers to intimacy so I can then understand what needs to fill that vacuum, which hopefully is the connection with yourself and your partner. All right, everyone, that wraps us up for this week's episode. If you did find value in this episode, leave a review. We always love to hear directly from you. And this really helps us grow our message and really help couples transform their relationships all over the world, because that's really what our legacy is all about. Also, if you are looking for some great resources in every single show notes in our podcasts, there's some resources there for you to grab. So there's our 4 skills to evolve your relationship. There's also our free Facebook community that you can join just for high achieving men who are focused on learning marriage skills. And finally, if you want to talk to me directly, there's a link there where you can book a breakthrough plan. So you and I can get a quick call to really understand where you're at, where you want to go, and set up a very simple plan to get you started and create some momentum. So all that is in our show notes. Please feel free to jump on those resources and take action. And I'd love a review from you. That always helps us out. Until next time, cheers.